Today's reading returned to the idea of sending and being sent. The Greek word for sending is the root of the word for apostle, also the root of the Latin word missionary. It's all about sending, being sent. In the beginning of this gospel, Jesus says that no slave is greater than his master, nor any messenger greater than the one who sent him. He's kind of playing with this idea because he has just washed the feet of the disciples, so he has taken the role of the servant, the slave, not the role of the master, but he is the master. And he even says it, you call me master, and that's right, I am the master. But if I, who am the master, have washed your feet, what does it tell you about what you're supposed to do? So he's kind of hinting at not only what they're to do as those whom he is sending, but he's also hinting at what he's doing because he has been sent. In fact, the mystery of sending and being sent goes all the way back into the heart of God, into the eternal dynamism of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In eternity, before creation, there wasn't any sending because there's no place to go, right? God is everything, and there isn't any place, so he can't send as though he's going from one place to another. At that level, it's all love. But it's good to understand that the sending and the being sent is all rooted in love. So in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are this communion of loving and being loved. But when God entered creation, when the Son of God became Son of Man, then his being sent took on a kind of geographical character, physical. He could actually go from one place to another, just as he came from heaven to earth. He could reveal that he was coming from the Father and going out into the world. And that's what he's thinking about when he's sending out the apostles from here to there. You're extending this mission that I have received from the Father. And it's rooted in love, the love of God. What is a missionary supposed to bring to the world? Love, the love of God, expressed in love of man, love of neighbor. So here's Jesus, he washes the feet of the disciples, he's revealing himself as a slave, as one sent to serve, not to be served. And the implication is, well now, if I do that, you're to do that. At the end of the gospel, he explains it again. Whoever receives the one I send receives me. He's talking about the apostles, but he's also talking about those whom the apostles send. In fact, he's talking about us, who are also sent. So anyone who receives the one I send receives me, because that's why he's sending us, so that his life can be shared, so that his love can be shared with the world. And whoever receives me receives the one who sent me, the Father. So we see this chain reaction from the Father to the Son, to the apostles, to the church, to everyone who is baptized, sent out into the world. Where is the gospel supposed to be proclaimed? To the ends of the earth, to all peoples. Paul and Barnabas are in this tradition. So we go back to the passage in the Acts of the Apostles where they're on their first missionary journey, sent from Antioch, we read about yesterday, set aside because the Holy Spirit indicated that they should go out and make known the gospel to other places, not only in the Holy Land and not only in Antioch in Syria. Now they're already arriving at Antioch in Pisidia, and they're preaching to the Jews in the synagogue. Paul takes the opportunity that he's not being called Saul anymore. He's now being called Paul, same guy. He's proclaiming the gospel as a fulfillment of what the Jews already knew. You can see what he's doing. he gives a little summary of the history of the chosen people. He hits on some highlights. He doesn't say everything, but he shows that the plan of God has been unfolding for many, many years. And Paul brings it up to the point where David, who had been promised that one of his descendants would be the Messiah, is the last Old Testament figure he mentions. And then he says, and who is that descendant? It's Jesus. Jesus, the Savior. Then, before saying more about Jesus for the moment, he mentions John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who says, one is coming after me. You know, I was sent, but there's someone coming after me who I am not worthy to unfasten the sandals on his feet. So John, again, this work of the slave to wash the feet, the work of the slave to unfasten the sandals, that's the slave's work. And John says, I'm not even worthy to do the lowest task for him. That's how great the one to come after me is. Apparently, the people of Pisidia had heard about John, or at least Paul seems to assume that they know about John, just as they know about Saul and about David and about the entry into the Promised Land. It's as if it's part of their story already. John, I don't know, but he seems to indicate that John, this work of John the Baptist had already spread all around. But what was not known was who was coming after John, and that's Jesus. So this is what's happening. The gospel is being spread. Now, we know that, although we won't read it Torah because we'll be celebrating St. Joseph the Worker, but we know what happens in Antioch. Yeah, Paul makes this proclamation and he gains a lot of attention, but eventually the people of Antioch, they turn against him, drive him out. But the gospel has to be proclaimed, the being sent has to be fulfilled, because that's the will of God, no matter how it's going to be received. The Father sends the Son. The Son was welcomed by some and rejected by others. The Son sends the apostles. They're accepted by some, they're rejected by others. And in every generation, the church is sent, accepted by some, rejected by others. Since I mentioned St. Joseph and we're celebrating him tomorrow, the labor is to do the will of God. Joseph was also sent. He was sent to serve as the guardian of the Holy Family. Yes, he was a carpenter, a craftsman, but his main work was to do the will of God, to do the will of the Father, to be the representative of the Father. So that's what we'll be celebrating tomorrow. It's also an Easter meditation. Joseph too, who lived before the death and resurrection of Jesus, is a sign to us of being sent to fulfill the will of God. So that's what we're all called to do. We can't do it without the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit, but we can do it, and so we must rededicate ourselves to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and of all those whom he sends.